Welcome, Raza. Today we have Mark Guerrero, who is very famous, actually. Been around for a very, very long time. Mark was in several groups, especially Mark and the Escorts. But we're going to go ahead and start off. Mark, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Beto?
Good, good. We're going to go ahead and start off with your past, you know, who you are, to introduce you to the general audience. Tell me a little bit about your parents and where they come from.
Well, my dad is a well-known Chicano singer-songwriter, Lalo Guerrero. You may have heard of him. He was born in Tucson, Arizona in 1916. He just turned 84. And my mom was also born in Tucson, and they got married when my dad was 21, my mom was like 18, and they were married for 25 years, produced two sons, and I'm one of them.
Okay, and they are living now where?
My mom lives in Monterey Park, and my dad lives in Cathedral City, a few blocks from me, about 6 blocks from my house.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Just one brother.
And his name?
Dan. He's a television producer and... in L.A.
All right. And you grew up where?
East L.A. In the barrio.
In the barrio. Yeah. Where did you go to school?
Garfield High School.
From there?
East L.A. College, and then on to Cal State L.A. And I graduated with a B.A. in Chicano Studies in the 70s.
What got you interested in education? Why did you pursue it?
Actually, you know, when I first went to college, I couldn't find a major that interested me, you know. And so at first I dropped out. After 2 years at East L.A., I basically decided not to move on. And then like a few years later, that's when the I took a class in the summer just because I wanted something different to do. And I took a Chicano Studies class. They were starting to get very popular, especially in the 70s. And I really liked it, and it was something that I could relate to. And so I decided to go back full-time, and I went back to Cal State LA and finished it up in 2 years. I went full-time. I was really into it.
What got you interested in music?
Well, you know, with my dad being a musician, it was just part of my genetic makeup, I think. Plus, it was always around. I mean, that's what he made his living on, and I just always naturally loved music, and I started playing guitar when I was about 12 years old, and joined a band at 13 and never stopped.
All right. And how did this come about? How did you join the band? Did you create it yourself, or did you join a band, or you were jumping around looking for different bands to join, or how did that happen?
Well, actually, you know, the first band I was in, I actually played alto sax. It was a band called the Blue Tones, and I was only 12 years old, and I don't even remember how that happened, you know, how we got together, you know, so young. Just remember we played for a while. And then I switched over to guitar, and I bought an electric guitar and an amp. And a neighbor of mine had a drum set, and he had a friend that played guitar, and he just came over one day and said, "Hey, you want to come over and play?" So I did, and that was the birth of Mark and the Escorts, right there. I was 13.
And what year was this?
1963.
63. Now, what was happening around 1963?
Amazingly, one of the biggest things that was happening was surf music. You had Dick Dale and The Ventures and all these groups, all these songs like Pipeline and Wipeout. And so we actually started out playing mostly surf instrumentals, and we would throw in an occasional blues song, but we were doing all instrumentals at the very beginning.
Would you say that a lot of the groups at that time were actually doing that?
Yeah, a lot of groups in East LA in general were doing that at that time.
Okay. And tell me, what did you ever, were you ever, you know, a lot of members from a lot of different bands, you know, played one night with one band and then played another night with another band. Did you ever do that?
Not really. I basically, whatever band I was in, I played with them just about exclusively. Once in a great while, some other band would call up and they'd need a sub, and if I wasn't playing, I would play. In fact, one night I actually subbed with the Blendells. I played lead guitar. I was only about 15, and I played a gig with them.
Now, did you ever record with anyone else other than Mark and the Escorts?
At that time in the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, with my dad. My dad used Mark and the Escorts to back him up on several records.
Which ones?
There was a song called, I think it was called Los Greñudos. It was a really a, like a Sam the Shaman, the Pharaohs rock and roll type song. It was very cool. And God, we played on several cuts, you know. Then in the mid-60s, we played on a big hit of his called La Minifalda de Reinalda. We played on that. So I did some recordings with my dad as a teenager, quite a few actually.
How was your dad, how did he feel about you getting into the music industry?
He actually had mixed feelings about it, because he knows how hard it is and how kind of unsteady it can be. You know, it's a tough way to make a living. So he actually, I think, would have preferred I was a doctor or a lawyer or something else. But he never really, you know, fought me on it.
Who was on the group? Name each instrument and each person.
And Mark and the Escorts?
Mm-hmm.
Mark and the Escorts actually was in existence from like 1963 to about 1966, early 66. And it evolved very interestingly. It sort of evolved along the lines of rock history because, as I said, we started with surf music. Then we started out with two guitars and drums, no bass even. Then we added a bass player. And then we added a lead singer. And then a tenor sax. So for a while we were five-piece. And at that point we were doing, you know, Motown. We were doing Beatles, Rolling Stones, British Invasion stuff, Stax Volt. We were starting to do all that kind of stuff. Then we added a baritone sax and a farfisa organ. And we went along for at least a year as a seven-piece. The drummer's name was Ernest Hernandez Jr. The rhythm guitarist was Robert Warren. Then there was me on guitar. And we had Ricky Almaraz on lead vocals. And Richard Rosas on bass. Richard Rosas later went on to play with Joe Walsh of the Eagles and with Neil Young for a while. We had Richard Magana on baritone sax, Trini Basulto on tenor sax, and Joe Cabral on farfisa organ.
Where did you guys play?
We played all the really cool venues. I don't know if you've heard of some of these places, like the Kennedy Hall in East L.A., St. Alphonsus Auditorium, the Alexandria Hotel in downtown L.A., Montebello Ballroom, Rainbow Gardens in Pomona, the Big Union Hall in Vernon downtown. It was a big, old, giant Union Hall all the bands were playing. The Little Union Hall in East L.A. And all those venues, we'd often play with the Midnighters or the Blendells or Cannibal and the Headhunters, or the VIPs, who later became El Chicano, or the Jaguars with the Salas Brothers. The Salas Brothers later became Tierra. All those people were all working that circuit at that time.
Now, were all the members from East LA?
Of all those groups?
Of your band.
Of my band, yes. Yeah, we were all from East LA.
How much were you guys getting paid around this time?
That's funny. When we first started, when we were 13 years old, we would literally, we'd play a house party and get like $5 a piece, and we thought that was big money. It was exciting. But, you know, as we got popular, when we were like 15 or so, we were making, you know, 50, 75 bucks a piece, you know, which wasn't bad, and maybe even 100 a piece, depending on the gig. That wasn't bad for the number of guys we had.
Where were you guys meeting and practicing?
Actually, we usually practiced at the drummer's house in East LA, or at my house in the living room, you know, that type of deal.
Now, how did it come about that you guys were approached and said, you know, do you guys want to make a record, or did you guys go in and actually look for a place to make a record? How did that happen?
Well, Billy Cardenas, who was a very popular manager and producer of East LA groups at the time, he produced and managed groups like the Blendells, the Premieres, Cannibal, the Headhunters, all the popular groups. And I must say there was another gentleman named Eddie Davis who has passed away, but he was the other sort of half of their partnership. Sometimes Eddie produced, usually Billy produced, and Eddie often got the record deals. Actually, sometimes Billy got the record deals. They both sort of worked in tandem. And they had heard about us. We were playing around a lot, and Billy approached us about managing us, and he took us into a recording studio in Hollywood, and we did two singles. He got us a deal with GNP Crescendo Records, which was a popular label back then, and we had two singles out, which have just recently been re-released now in a CD. It's pretty amazing. 35 years later, I'm holding it in my hand.
And tell me a little bit about the band. I mean, a lot of bands went through a lot of turmoil, ¿verdad? Drugs, alcohol. Did you guys ever really go through any turmoil?
Not at that age, based generally speaking. At that age, being, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, we didn't see any really hard drugs around. You know, there might have been, you know, a little bit of drinking going on at times, and sometimes maybe a little pot. But there was no, like, cocaine, or the crack cocaine didn't exist yet. There was no hard stuff going around at that time. And our guys were pretty clean, although our lead singer got too heavy into drugs and wound up overdosing and dying at age 21.
And what about the girls?
That was always a great motivator. It was great, you know, especially in the mid-60s. Those were the days of the little teeny boppers and the mini skirts and you know, really tight fitting tops, and they were looking pretty sexy, you know, and we were young pubescent kids having a good time.
All right, then why don't we go to the first song? Tell me what it is.
Oh, the first song here on this CD, it's actually been released on the Dionysus record label. And it's called East Side Sound, Volume 2, featuring Mark and the Escorts. And it's got cuts by the Blendells, Premieres, Enchantments, various groups. And we have four cuts on here. Our first one on here is called Dance With Me.
Okay, now how did this come about?
Billy Cardenas brought the song to us. I think the Blendells had previously recorded it, but they broke up. So I think he wanted it done again.
Okay, so they broke up, but you guys did it differently, correct?
We did it pretty close, pretty similar. You know, we put a little spin on it of our own, but it's very similar.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's check that out.